Now, we do know there's a coming of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not here yet. It's going to be here really soon because we're at the end of these 2,000 years.
God measured out a section of eternity and called it time. Today, Gloria Copeland and her guest Billy Brim teach us how time has been divided and where we are today on God's timeline. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory. We're talking about the end of days this week. Hallelujah. And Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks is our teacher, and we're just all ears. So get your Bible and pay attention.
Gloria, our scriptures this time, and I'm just going to read it. It's 1 Peter 4, 7, and 8. I'm reading only in the New American. This is Peter, of course, Holy Ghost writing through Peter. The end of all things is near. That's not supposed to be scary. Mm-mm. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Now, this is the Holy Ghost writing down through Peter. And we've been talking about the man that Peter was, a learned man, a Jewish man. He and all of those listening to him, because he was the apostle to the circumcised. And you can tell at the first of his first letter, 1 Peter, and his second letter, that he's particularly writing to those who've come out of Judaism. Much of the early day church was Jews. They had been former in Judaism. So they know very well what he's talking about when he talks the end of all things. They know that he doesn't mean the end of the world. They know that he's not consulting some Mayan calendar that says the world is going to end on such and such a date, and all the, what do you call those magazines that are, you know, like the, anyway, you know those ones that, well, I tell you what they are. You're going out and you bought your groceries, and there they are all lined up.
Yeah.
And they say, the Mayan calendar says it stops at 2012, I think it is. Everybody's scared about 2012. Don't even worry about 2012. I can tell you right now we're going past that. Don't ask me why, but I just know that we are. We're ready if he comes tonight.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely I'm not going to go by the Mayan calendar. Definitely I am going to go by the Word of God.
And
we know what's going to happen concerning time, because God's very involved with time. He invented time.
That's right.
He himself lives in eternity. Now, this is from Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He lives in eternity. He doesn't live in this dispensation where we are. He's here. But he, I used to think like this, God knows the future better than we know the past, and he does. But he knows it because he lives there. He already lives in the future. He lives in the past. Our little finite minds, we can't get around that very much right now because we are finite and we are time sensitive. But I was coming, and I've told you this to the audience here before, that I was on my first trip to Australia many years ago now. I was coming back home and I was asleep. And I heard the pilot announce that we have now passed the international dateline. That means it's another day than it was before. You know, I remember when I was in Australia once and I called my grandson and I said, Jared, I'm calling you from tomorrow. I said, don't worry about it. Yesterday turned out all right. So time, you know, I was riding in this plane and I tried to jot it down this morning. I don't remember it exactly what he said to me, but immediately when that pilot said that, then I heard this, and I heard it in that voice, in that tone that's almost like it's you know, like everyone could hear it.
Audible.
But, yeah, audible.
Almost.
But it was audible in my spirit. Mm-hmm. And it was like this, God invented time precisely, scientifically, God cut out and measured a piece of eternity and called it time for his dealings with the fall of man.
Praise God.
Every
That's right.
second of the clock ticks off time and is counting time to the end of time and its usefulness to God.
That's powerful.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes, it is.
So on
Praise
his
God.
On his timeline, our question is, where am I on God's timeline? Where are you on God's timeline? Where are we on God's timeline?
Or where am I on my timeline?
yeah, or your own little timeline
That's
he gave
right.
you. It's very important to know what God is doing when you're on the earth.
That's very
And
good.
I read across this. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I found this statement in my book, The End of Days, which is a book written by a Jewish author. We quoted out of it earlier. But Peter, now we're thinking about Peter. Peter's real involved with time. Peter, in all of his teachings, he's speaking us about time and its duration. You have to remember, well, let's just go back to the day of Pentecost. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. I was going to do it later, but we'll do it right now. Acts chapter 2. You remember that the Lord told them to wait in Jerusalem and not leave town till they'd received the promise from on high. And then in Acts chapter 2, they have received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. They heard a sound from heaven. They're in the upper room where they had had the Last Supper with Jesus. But now they're going to go over to the southern steps. And we know that Peter preached this sermon on the southern steps that walk up to the temple, and I'm asking them to show some pictures of that because I love to teach in this place.
Mm-hmm.
It's the southern steps that walk up to the temple, and we know that when Peter preached that day, that there were several thousand people who were born again and were baptized. And this is the only place that they could have, 3,000 souls. In chapter 2 of Acts, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles'
Praise
doctrine.
God.
So, the only place in Jerusalem that you could baptize 3,000 people is in the mikvahs, the ceremonial baths that the Jews took when they walked up these southern steps into the temple. So what happened was they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit in that upper room. But then that upper room couldn't hold them. They went down into the streets, and people were gathered there because it was the Shavuot. It was the Pentecost. It was 50 days that they had been counting. And so on the same day that the word was given on Sinai, and all the Jews were there from all the countries to celebrate the giving of the word, on that same day the Spirit was poured out. That's just a blessing to me to
Praise
know that
God.
The Spirit and the Word came
yeah.
on the same day. Now, when the day, we're going to go here to chapter, we're talking about Peter, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This is the upper room. And you know that there was a sound from heaven and the Spirit was poured out, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem all these people from all these other countries. They're down there on the southern steps, which are the steps that the common ordinary people take up into the temple. And they're down there. Now Peter and his group have spilled out of that upper room. And they're down there on those southern steps. And they said, well, these are all Galileans, aren't they? How do we hear them speak, verse 11, in our tongues the wonderful works of God? And they were all amazed. And verse 13, others said, these men are full of new wine. But now Peter, our Peter, appointed leader by the Lord. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to me. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and so on and so forth. So Peter now, he's the spokesman of the group. He's baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's standing up there preaching. And what does he say? He is announcing, Jews, they're all Jews, every single one of them, listen to me. This is the beginning of the last 2 days. I'm going to ask them to put up that timeline for you, that timeline that was put into place in the Talmud. No one argues with this. This timeline was established when Moses went to heaven, and God, he left it in the Talmud, he left it in the oral tradition, and he told it to Joshua, and then Joshua told it to the next. And finally, it was written in the Talmud. And what was written in the Talmud, and it's written in the Sanhedrin Tractate 97a, that there are given to this time period that we're in 6 days or 6,000 years. I'm going to read you it exactly as it says, if I can find it here where I printed it off in the Talmud.
You can find it.
I can find it, bless the Lord. It says that there will be, and it says, the world is to exist 6,000 years. 1,000 years is a day, a day is 1,000 years. That's what the Talmud says. In the first 2,000, there will be desolation. It's called the, I'm asking them to put up that timeline. It's a time of chaos and desolation. The next 2,000 years, the Torah flourishes. So the law, the written word of God, was given at the beginning of the next 2,000 years. And the next 2,000 years is the day of the Messiah. So they believed, Jews believed, that he was supposed to come at the beginning of the fifth day, at the end of the fourth day. Now they have a little note here I want you to read. He should have come at the beginning of the last 2,000 years. The delay is due to our sins. Now that's what Jews believe. That's why they're looking for him the first time. But we as Christians, we believe that he did come at the end of that.
Oh, yes.
He did come at the end of the fourth day. And so then the fifth day and the sixth day are to be the days of the Messiah. What they have turned out to be, and which was hidden in the Old Testament, the day of the body of Christ. So we're at the end of the 2,000 years,
God,
known as the church age, known as the days of the body of Christ. Now, he's going to come again. He's going to set up a kingdom on this earth. The Jews are going to be the leading ones in that kingdom, but we're not going there right now. Right now, we're just saying that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, introduced the last 2 days.
Yeah.
And those Jews knew what he was talking about. They introduced to him, and he said, this is the fulfillment of what is written in Joel. Now, I have this little book here, which is the 12 prophets, and it's a Hebrew translation. And what Joel said was, at the beginning of the third chapter, and I'll read that to you, and it shall be after this, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your elders shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, also upon the slaves and upon the maidservants in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will set portents in the heavens and on earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the day of Hashem, who is great and awesome. Now we do know there's a coming of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not here yet. It's going to be here really soon because we're at the end of these 2,000 years. Now, I'm going to read you what they say as a note here at the beginning of chapter 3, Joel. This chapter begins an entirely new phase of the prophecy of Joel, in which he foretells of the messianic era that will take place in the end of days, or in the last 2 days. The following shall occur in the end of days. The messianic era is always alluded to in prophecy specifically as the end of days. So you saw on the timeline that those last 2 days of the 6 days are 2,000 years long. And when Peter, he was the one to announce they have started. Now he's also the one to give us a sign of when they'll end.
Praise
Peter
God.
Is very much very much associated with time. Now, he told us, the way you're going to tell what time it is, you're going to have to look at the prophets. So let's look at Peter's second letter. His second letter says, second letter, and we're going to start reading with verse 10, but I'll tell you what it says up to then. He says, I was there with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. We heard this voice from glory. But he said, we've got something more sure than an audible voice. We've got 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy. The Greek word is prophetikos, and it means the Old Testament prophets. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arises, in your hearts knowing this first, that no prophetikos of the Scripture, none of the prophets, is of any private interpretation. They're not isolated. They all go together and they make up one story, one truth. For the prophetikos, this is verse 21, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Peter is telling you, if you're going to have a light in a dark place, if you're going to have a light in this earth as to what time it is, you are going to have to look in the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. Unless you do that, you don't have a clue. You don't know why what's happening in Iran. You don't know why what's going to happen with Russia and Iran together. And by the way, they're saying now that that Bushehr is about to come online again. You will know because this airs in September. They say that it's going to come online in August. We'll see what has happened by then. But all of these nations that he said he would bring back in the latter days, in the end of days, they're on the scene right now. Mm-hmm. Now, this is this is a quote from a man named Winston, not Bill Winston, but Pinchas Winston. Without the prophets, we'd have little to tell us what God is up to and what to expect next. Without the prophets, we would have little to tell us what God is up to and what to expect next. Now, that's why I don't avoid reading the newspapers. I check them every day. I don't take a whole lot of time. I go online and check them. I check the ones from America here. I check the ones from Israel. Because what the prophets said are happening now. And I can tell what God is up to. Therefore, I'm not a bit worried that Iran is going to obliterate Israel. They're not going to do it. The Bible tells us exactly what's going to happen. So, Peter, what I'm telling you right now is Peter was very involved in time, as are all Jews. They know about time. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Remember we said that God measured out a section of time, of eternity, and called it time? Now, time, and I'm going to be reading here again from Mr. Winston's book, page 16. Bless the Lord. The Jewish people have been keeping track of time ever since God first told Moshe, while still in Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of the months. It shall be for you the first of the months of the year. The responsibility of keeping track of the years from that point onward was given to the Jewish people. And he couldn't have given it to someone better. Until that time, they had, when God instituted his calendar, when he brought them out of Egypt, and he instituted the God's calendar, until that time, people had been saying things like this, in the year that certain king died, in the year that certain king was born, as if time began again when you got a new king. And so, but that's not what the Jews were told to do. He gave them his word, and he gave them the responsibility of keeping time.
Praise
this
God.
Month, when they were coming out of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months to you. And then he told them how to count. And he told them how to draw circles on the calendar. You're going to have the first circle here is going to be Passover. Then you're going to count 50 days.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks. And then you're going to count so much time. And you're going to have what we're having. Is today Wednesday? Is today Wednesday? This is Rosh Hashanah. Is that right? Yes, we're doing this a little early. Hey, goody goody gumdrops. Look at what we're talking about right on Rosh Hashanah. God told them to keep time. Look at Leviticus chapter 23. This is God's calendar. This is, of course, the Hebrews have kept it for us. They kept the word for us. They kept the calendar for us. And right now, today, this is Wednesday. I don't know if it's, I haven't looked, I don't have a calendar before me. I don't know if it's Erev, the evening of Rosh Hashanah, or the day of Rosh Hashanah, because the evening and the morning are the days. But this is the first day of the, not the civil year, but of the spiritual year. And that's what he told them when they came out of Egypt. He said, this is the first day of the year for you. So this was it, Rosh Hashanah, the day that we're celebrating right now. And I'm telling you, Rosh Hashanah is one of those feasts that has not been fulfilled yet. One of those moeds that has not been fulfilled. And so as the beginning of the year, of the spiritual year for the Jews, this is a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. It's the day when they're going to begin this. And it's exactly the day when he said to them, this day, this month, shall be the beginning of time for you. So now Peter, he's a Jew. And the Jews, for all those years before Peter, they've been counting time. Oh my goodness. I'm there all the time. Every time I go, I'm there at some kind of a holy day. That's the root of our words. Holiday is holy day, a day that God made. And so these dates are very important on God's calendar. We are at the, Peter at that time, on the day of Pentecost, he said, this is it. This is the beginning of the last 2 days. And now he's going to give us over in his book of Peter, signs of the last 2 days.
Praise God.
And so we're going to be looking more at those tomorrow and the next day. But our point is, when the end of all things, and he doesn't mean the end of the world. He means the end of these 6 days.
Yeah.
When that is at hand,
that'll relieve a lot of people.
It'll relieve a lot of people.
That's right.
When that is at hand, here's what you do. You be sober-minded. Mm-hmm. You pray. You work with God so that you can pray. And above everything, you have fervent love one for another. For it covers a multitude of sins.
Hallelujah. That's our word, church. Glory to
Hallelujah.
God. Billy and I'll be right back.
We've all faced
problems,
challenges,
opportunities.
But who knew
that how we respond, either in love
or hate,
would make
such a difference in the end?
Who knew that our very lives
would be at stake?
Love is the life of every living thing in this whole universe.
Faith, joy, peace, and prosperity all depend on choosing love's way. The Walking in Love package contains Love, Your First Priority, a 2-CD series by Brother Copeland. It teaches you the importance of making every decision based on the law of love. Also included are 2 teaching CDs by Billy Brim about walking in the light and walking in love. She gives examples from her own experience on how to put love into practice. Kenneth Copeland's mentor, Kenneth E. Hagin, wrote Love, the Way to Victory, to teach you how to turn even the toughest situations around by walking in God's love.
Make the decision today.
Learn how to walk in this
divine love.
Order the Walking in Love package today for just $22 and save over 35%. Contained in this package is a book by Kenneth E. Hagin, as well as messages on CD by Kenneth Copeland and Billy Brim. Discover practical insights to increase your love toward others and walk in victory every day. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395.
You know, Jesus is coming for his church, and you want to be sure you're in that church.
That's
what
right.
is that? Well, that's being born again out of death into life. And so if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the most important thing for you to know in this life and to do is to receive him as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
He is the Savior, the only Savior, the only way to heaven. You can't get there by doing good works. You get there by receiving Jesus. He paid the price for sin. He paid the price for the whole curse. everything under that curse. Jesus bore the curse for us. So right now, you just pray with us. If you've never done that, you could be a different religion. It doesn't matter where you come from. It matters what you do with Jesus. So just say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Take my life and do something with it.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I prayed. I didn't know what to pray, but the Lord gave me that prayer. I prayed that prayer and I was born again. I changed on the inside. I was not the same person. The Bible calls that being a new creation. Hallelujah. And so if you prayed that with us today, let us know. And we have a free salvation package for you. We'll send you a book on what Jesus did for you on the cross and a brochure on how to study your Bible. You keep listening to the broadcast and other broadcasts, getting a good Bible-believing, Word of God, victorious church, and keep growing. Hallelujah. You can begin today to receive His best in your life. Billy and I can tell you from many years of experience, we've been born again a long time, everything changed in my life when I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Everything for good came into my life. God wants you, and you need to find out so you can flow with Him. So join us tomorrow, and we'll continue to talk about the fact that Jesus is coming. This is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They would like to send you some free information to help you get started in your new life in Christ. Request your free salvation package on our website at kcm.org. A book, He Did It All for You, and a brochure on how to study your Bible. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. Join Terry Copeland Pearsons for her Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference with guest Patsy Caminiti, September 28th through 30th. Come to the 2011 Word Explosion with Kenneth Copeland and special guests October 13th through 15th in Columbia, South Carolina. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, go to kcm.org. The world around you is changing every day, but one thing remains the same, God's Word. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine is full of life-changing teaching that will help you and your family live in the fullness of God's blessing. Build your faith as you read Word-based teachings from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the real-life stories of believers from around the world. Request your free subscription today. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine, words you can build your life upon. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
We are to be heavenly minded. We are not to be short-sighted. We are not to be limited in our vision. We are to be wide-scoped.
Spiritually minded.
Spiritually minded.